Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And we're going to have a discussion on the Menhaden industry. People who listen regularly to my Saturday morning outdoor show are very familiar with this issue, but a lot of you probably are not. And in an effort to educate the public and make them aware of the issues and understand the industry and what goes on, because it will be coming up, I'm sure, in the legislature this year. And to joining us to help us understand the industry is Vice President of Public Affairs with Ocean Harvesters, Ben Landry. Ben, thanks for taking some time to chat with us this morning.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Don.
If you would, tell us about your company, Ocean Harvesters.
Sure. So Ocean Harvesters is an American-owned business that harvests menhaden both on the Atlantic coast and the Gulf. And we deliver those menhaden to a company called Omega Protein, where they make high-protein fish meal that is in most pet diets and aquaculture for salmon. And fish oil, which also serves those two industries, but also human health.
Tell us exactly, what is a pogey, menhaden? One and the same, right? Just different names.
Exactly. So it's a very small fish. It's very bony. It's very oily, so you wouldn't want to eat it, although I guess you could. So it's not necessarily prized by recreational anglers, but because of the oil, it's highly prized. And once you make fish meal and oil, it's a commodity traded on the global market. Also, it's used as bait for recreational fishermen, crawfishers, crab pots. So it's a pretty diverse fish.
All right, tell me, how would you spend a day on a boat? Tell me how the operation takes place to harvest the menhaden.
Right. So the boats typically leave out on a Sunday evening. The captain will determine where they have spotted menhaden in the Gulf the previous day. So we have airplanes that help spot pogey schools. And the vessels leave out on Sunday so that when the sun rises on Monday morning, the boats are there on the fishing grounds. And you've seen the boats. They're blue. You know, they're either blue and white or blue and yellow, depending on the company. And the most important thing, though, is that that vessel is not a fishing vessel. It's actually two smaller purse seine boats, which are about 40 feet in length. And they actually surround the Menhaden school. And then the mothership, the big blue ship, goes over and takes them out of the water. So it's a little different. A lot of your audience is probably familiar with shrimpers, which are trawlers. This is a purse seine operation, so it's a different fishing method.
You described it very accurately. All right, here's some background information and some facts on how we got where we are today and what goes on in the now recently named Gulf of America, which was formerly the Gulf of Mexico. In Florida, it's totally banned in state waters. They don't allow it. Alabama, same thing, total ban in state waters. Now, Mississippi has a one-mile buffer, and that includes a mile from its barrier islands where it's prohibited to come any closer than that. Texas has a half-mile buffer along its coast and a one-mile buffer around jetty and passes. Plus, they put in a total allowable catch limit. I believe it's 31.5 million pounds. Now, here in Louisiana, we had a deal that was hammered out last year after a lot of gnashing of teeth and wailing of tears. They had a deal for, and a half-mile buffer for one season. before the, and they also had a half mile in across the coast, but it was 3 miles off Grand Isle and 1 mile off Holly Beach. And now your industry has pushed for a notice of intent to draw it in 1/4 mile, which the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission in a 4-3 vote agreed with you to allow that to move in closer. And there's been some opposition to that. What is your argument, Ben, the industry, and if not, I don't know if you can speak for the whole industry, but for at least ocean harvesters, and I'm going to have to ask you to wait until after this traffic report to do that for us. Tell us why the industry felt the need and the right to move in after making a half-mile deal to a quarter mile. We'll do that with Ben Landry right after we take this quick time out for traffic. Here's Joe Cardosi in the WWL Traffic Center. And we're discussing the Menhaden issue, the pogey boats, and we have Ben Landry, the Vice President of Public Affairs with Ocean Harvesters, one of the companies that harvest and fish for the pogies off the Louisiana coast. And Ben, I had posed a question to you just before, and for listeners that weren't tuned in there, Florida bans it completely in their waters, so does Alabama. Mississippi has a 1 mile buffer, including off their islands. Texas has set a limit. They also have a 1 mile buffer around their jetty and passes, and a half mile coast-wide. Here in Louisiana, we're the most generous state when it comes to giving up pogies. We have a half a mile across the coast, 3 miles on Grand Isle only, and one off Holly Beach. You and the rest of the industry appealed to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to move it in closer to a quarter mile. What is your argument for justifying that?
Well, thank you for that opportunity. Listen, I would say, and your audience knows this, the Louisiana coast is different, obviously, than Florida, than Gulf Shores, than Biloxi. It's a working coast. And there are significant buffers around those identified tourist areas in Grand Isle, Fouchon, and again in Holly Beach. So Louisiana's coast is simply different. So that's why the buffer is a little different. As it relates to, I guess, when you had teed up the agreement, it was never going to be in perpetuity. The agreement was always set for a couple of years until the $1 million taxpayer-funded bycatch survey, and then there was going to be a revisit of these buffers. And that bycatch survey came back and showed that the unintentional catch of red drum and speckled trout were far less than I think a lot of regulators had thought. So we went to the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission and worked with them. I believe they developed this map. And again, just to be clear for your audience, the move from a half mile to a quarter is not coastwide. I can't stress that enough to your audience. It is roughly a third of all linear miles of the state of Louisiana. So the overwhelming majority of the state will not be impacted at all. So I feel some of the rhetoric on this has been, it is not going to that length to explain exactly how the buffer is being adjusted.
All right. Well, obviously, this is going to go before the state legislature, and a couple of legislators and members of that Wildlife and Fishery Commission, by their own admission, said they have an overwhelming number of opponents for a variety of reasons, you know, the coastal restoration destruction and the increase on the bycatch, and with regard to the legislative session and the questions that have come up. A lot of questions have been raised about the amount of campaign contributions made by your industry. Can you tell our listeners how much you have given to political campaigns over the last couple of years?
Well, I assure you it's a fraction of what some members of the recreational fishing community has given. I will say that I can't speak to the arguments that recreational anglers are giving to legislators, but I can say, in my opinion, this is a user conflict. It's far less about damage to coastal restoration. I don't think, you know, if you talk to the folks over at CPRA, I don't think they flag Menhaden vessels as a significant cause of coastal erosion. Or,
well, I've seen it. I've seen it in person. I've been out there.
I would also say that, to me, it is a user conflict. We should be able to share the Gulf of America between different user groups, between the recreational fishing community and commercial fishing industries. We should be able to share it. That for those near shore waters should not be only for one sector.
All right. Civil restitution. Why is there no civil restitution on the bycatch for commercial fisheries of menhaden when every other species has that, where if someone destroys a resource, fish or game or bird or whatever, they have to pay back for it? It's a payback. It's a restitution. There's no restitution being paid. Would you agree to that, your industry?
No, not at all.
Why not?
I think it's the nature of commercial fisheries. I will say this, Don, your suggestion of civil restitution would shut down the menhaden industry. I mean, you would have roughly 800 direct jobs, 2,000 indirect jobs in the state, $62 million in vendor pay. Would he be eliminated if no other species could be harvested? It's just simply how this industry
It's called bycatch. But if I say this is bycatch, this fish that you caught me with, I still have to pay restitution. It's only fair that, you know, anyone that does that has to pay it back. And it's not being done. It's being lost. And as far as the amount that we would lose economically, recreational fishing far, far outweighs it in what it brings.
I hope that you're not suggesting that this industry should go away. I'm simply saying that as it relates to bycatch, 97% of speckled trout are killed by rod and reeled anglers. 96% of red drum are killed by recreational anglers. If we're worried about red drum and speckled trout deaths, it's awful hypocritical to point at another fishery
majority. There's some very tight regulations with regard to red drum for recreational fishermen. I mean, they've banned the spawning fish, which is the ones that are basically caught as bycatch by the menhaden industry. And, you know, there's very tight regulations. There's slot limits, and there's a lot of catch and release that's required, and civil restitution payback if somebody, you know, catches them illegally or has an illegal size. Ben, I wish we could continue with you, but I got to go. I got other people coming on, and we're late for traffic already. I appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thanks, Don. And listen, if you can...
Go ahead.
If you want more information about this, you can go to lamenhaden.org.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Quite welcome. All right. Let's go to traffic. Joe Cardosi standing by, taking a look at the highways and byways. What's it look like, Joe? We continue our discussion on the menhaden industry. Again, the issue, if you're just joining us, Louisiana had made a deal with the industry and the conservation organizations for a half-mile buffer on most of the coast, 3 miles off Grand Isle and 1 mile off Holly Beach. No limit, no season dates. They could do it for the entire season if they wanted to. Of course, it is a limited season, but in opposition to that, the Florida and Alabama totally banned the menhaden fishing in the state waters. Mississippi's a mile off, and Texas has a limit when 131.5 million pounds is caught that shuts down, and they have a half-mile buffer across the whole coast and a further buffer, 1 mile close to the jetties and passes. The industry went before the commission and asked to move it 1/4 mile offshore to move it in. There's been a lot of opposition. You'll hear the reasons why when we get Rad Trasher and Chris Macaluso, the directors of some conservation organizations, on why that is not a good idea and why they are opposed to it. The commission voted 4-3. The commission chairman, Segrera, broke the tie. It was a 3-3 tie. He made it 4-3. There are some state ethics charges, that a complaint that's been filed against two of the commissioners, and I'll get into that a little bit later on because they have conflicts of interest in it. And I invited commissioners on both sides of the issues to come on this. They're the ones that voted for it and voted against it. They declined or did not respond. I've also invited the governor who appointed them to come on and give his opinion, and we have not heard back from him. But we have heard from Representative Joe Ogeron, who is heavily involved in this issue. And I'm getting some text messages in from a lot of you that's saying Ben Landry kind of dodged the question when I asked him about political campaign contributions. So I'll give that information out because I do have it. His organization, Ocean Harvesters, donated $74,500. Daybrook Fishery, they were a lightweight. They donated $45,455. Francois Cattell, who I tried to get, but he was out of the country. He individually donated $68,209.70. Omega Protein, they donated $185,500. And West Bank Fishing, which is Francois Cattell's organization, donated a whopping $408,340. So the grand total was $782,004 made by the Menhaden industry. And that's the ones I have records of. There could have been some smaller donations I don't have. Representative Ogeron, is that a big contribution to campaigns? What do you think?
That is a huge contribution. I could say I have not received any money from Francois and West Bank. And I did, I think I got one accidental check from Ben Landry, and I called him asking him if he wanted me to return it back.
It was accidental.
I think because, you know, I'm the legislator that's known for holding them to account and trying to instill some common sense regulations for this industrial fishery.
Well, I saw your appearance and your testimony you gave at the commission meeting. You were upset because you were involved in that deal that was made last year. Tell me how that came down. If I remember right, the commission said, look, the conservation organizations and the industry, y'all sit down and reach an agreement and bring it before the legislature and have it settled out. And I think that's how it came out, right? That was supposed to be a deal. Now, Ben says it was only temporary, but yeah. I think it – was it just a temporary arrangement, or was it?
No, I do not remember it being temporary. As a matter of fact, I was not actually at the deal making. Whenever you talk with CCA, I think they were there with the industry. I'm going to rewind the clock back. I had tried to run a bill to put a 1 mile buffer, and they told me in order to get it through, you would have to compromise the half mile. I compromised a half mile, and even that got killed in the Senate Natural Resources Committee. Subsequently, the industry put a bunch of dead fish on Holly Beach, if you remember that incident. And that is whenever the commission said, we need to push y'all back to 1 mile buffer. And then the governor got elected, made some appointments to the commission, and all of a sudden the 1 mile buffer plan or notice of intent at that time then started to change and morph into, we're going to have a compromise and it'll be a half mile, and that's something everybody could live with. And I do remember waiting on the bycatch study that being stated, but there was I don't remember any time any time limit on it.
So. All right, Joe, I'm got to take a traffic break here. When we come back, I got a couple more questions about you, especially where do you think this is headed, because it is going to get before the legislature again. We're talking to State Representative Joe Ogeron about the Menhaden issue. We'll be back to do that. But first, let's get a look at that traffic. And we've got Joe Cardosi standing by. Another Joe. What's it look like, Joe? All right, we're back with Representative Joe Ogeron. We're talking about the Menhaden issue. And, Joe, this is going to get in the legislature for sure. It'll come up under natural resources. How do you think it's going to go? Where is this headed? I've talked to people. I hear from people that want to go the route of Florida and Alabama and totally ban it, or they want to move it 3 miles off. They want to shorten the season. They might want to put a total catch limit on it. Do you think there's going to be a compromise, or do you think this thing with that $782,000 worth of campaign contributions is going to fly through as sent by the commission?
Yeah, I would think that the last commission meeting, that 3-3 tie with the chairman breaking the tie, should be an indicator for anybody in the political realm that the political fix is in, and they're going to try to jam that through. But I personally see the next stop is definitely a legislative oversight for the NOI to see whether or not that goes in, and then subsequently another bite of the apple for the legislative session to put in new regulations, and there likely will be new regulations trying to once again instilling some common sense regulation, and now using the bycatch study, the data from the bycatch study. I know Ben spoke as if it they see it as it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be, but what it does show is a distinctive curve that commission meeting, if you were there, you saw Dr. Scott Rayborn, who was the chief principal investigator. He talked about the 22-foot S-curve, the 22-foot inflection point. And basically what that is over the 1 year that they did our waters, those boats, using those Menhadens, our $1 million of tax dollars, we now have basically what's a water depth deep enough for them to fish in where they could still catch menhaden but not affect the red drum species, and then anything shallower that where they're catching more menhaden but they're disproportionately affecting the red drum. And I think that's going to come into play in some of the legislation in the future.
Well, we'll try to stay on top of it, and please keep us advised of what's going on legislatively-wise, and we'll be watching it. When do you guys go in session?
We go in session on March 9th, but I think the timing of the NOI that's now in public comment section, whatever the public comments in, I believe in mid to late January, usually about 8 to 10 days after that, the Wildlife and Fisheries will pull together all those results from the comment and send a report to the legislature, to the natural resources, and that kicks off a 30-day time period for us to have a meeting explicitly about that NOI, and that'll probably be the next stop. But people should definitely be writing comments to Wildlife and Fisheries about how they don't believe that that reducing the buffer zones
Thank you, Joe. We got to go. We'll stay in touch.
Thank you, Don. Have a great day.
You too.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.